In John chapter 15, the Bible said, I'm going to start reading. Let me see where would be a good place, because we're going to be all over the chapter before we get finished. Let me just start in verse number 11. Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." I just caught something. The way that's worded, it's possible to lose that joy, ain't it? Jesus said, "I told you some things here that that joy might remain in you." So it's possible to lose that joy. David did. He had to pray, "Lord, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." A lot of times that's misquoted. They'll say the joy of my salvation, but Jonah said salvation is of the Lord. I think thy salvation is the way the Bible said it, the way we should say it. He said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." And verse 15 is where the Lord spoke to my heart. "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another." What I want to speak to you about tonight for a little while, I don't know if it'll be so much preaching as it is teaching, because I believe it's a subject that needs to be addressed. I want to talk about the marks of a true friend of Jesus. The marks of a true friend of Jesus. There's some evidences, I believe, in a person's life that is truly a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's something that I've been meditating on coming to church tonight, and I spent a little bit of time there looking at some things on the front pew there before the service started. And let's just start with the first thing real quickly. It has to do, number one, with faith. If you will, take your Bible and turn over to the book of James quickly. And I don't think we could put too much emphasis on this very, very first thing that God has spoke to my heart about faith. Hebrews and then James and then Peter. James chapter number 2 and verse number 23. The Bible said, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." Now what God magnified in my heart as I meditated coming to church tonight is Abraham didn't call himself a friend of God. The Christians in the book of Acts didn't call themselves Christians. They were called Christians by somebody else that was observing them. And Jesus said, "I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth." So I began to think about some things. Look at Romans chapter 1 quickly. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but I believe this needs to be magnified. In Romans chapter number 1, let me mark my place in John because I'll be back there. Romans chapter number 1, the Bible said, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God." Y'all see that? What I'm trying to magnify is Paul didn't say, "Paul, a friend of God." I can't find out where anybody said that of themselves. It reminds me of John. John would say that other disciple, that disciple whom Jesus loved. So let's go on and let me look at just a couple other examples real quick. I don't have them all. I didn't make notes on them. I didn't make them all. But if you look at James, the book of James, chapter 1 and verse 1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greeting. So as we go through the lesson tonight, I want you to understand that your pastor would never stand here and say, I'm a friend of God. But God knows my heart. I want to be. That would be for somebody else to say, not for us to say about ourselves. If you look at Peter, you got Hebrews, then you got James, then you got Peter. And I believe we'll have to look at 2 Peter chapter 1. This is just a couple of examples. I didn't take the time to look at every one of them, but it says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. So many of Paul's writings, Ephesus, Galatians, Ephesians to the church at Ephesus, Galatians and Philippians and Colossians, none of them said anything about a servant. He would talk about his apostle. He was an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here, Peter uses both, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. And I just thought it was interesting that none of these men, greatly used of God, none of them said in their introduction to their book, I'm a friend of God. Abraham didn't even say that about himself, but he was called a friend of God. And he was called that because he believed God. Hebrews chapter 11, quickly, a little bit about faith, and we'll move right on. In Hebrews chapter number 11 tonight, the Bible said in verse number 6, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I believe Abraham was not only a man that believed God, but Brother Junior, when I look at his life and everywhere he went, he built an altar. I believe he diligently sought the Lord. He was a man of great wealth, but he never let his wealth come between him and God. Amen? See, the rich man didn't go to hell because he was rich. Because if you went to hell for being rich, then Abraham wouldn't have been over in paradise. Amen? But they were both rich, but one of them let the riches come between him and the Lord. Now, I want to show you Abraham's faith. Now, he had faith in many different ways. He had faith, first of all, just to leave Ur of the Chaldees. I mean, you pick up and just leave on God's word. That takes faith, amen. But then he had faith to live, and we talked about he would follow the Lord. He dwelled in tents, amen. What was it the Bible said? By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out of a place which he should after receive for inheritance, he obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. A lot of people that would be blessed with the substance that Abraham was blessed with wouldn't be looking for a city. They'd just be looking at their substance and trying to keep up with what God had blessed them with. Look in verse number 17 of chapter 11. I believe this tells the story. By faith, this really gets down to it. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. I don't know about you tonight, but I believe if you'd offer your son, God's got all of you. Amen? God's got all of you. If you had faith enough. But watch what he said. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead. I'm telling you, that, beloved, is a great faith. Amen. I don't know about you, but sometimes I pray, and I don't know how much faith Does anybody have that problem? I ask God and I talk to the Lord, but sometimes I'm afraid. I guess, Brother John, that's what separates when you taught Sunday school one morning. I remember you saying sometimes you pray and sometimes you pray. You said the same thing, but it's two different. How many knows what I'm talking about? There's times, beloved, when it don't know, you don't know if it's getting out of the room, and it's time when you know you got in the room. And Abraham had a great faith. So one of the marks of being a friend of Jesus, it's faith. That's where it all starts. Saving faith, serving faith. What's the word I'm looking for? Sanctifying faith. That would help us to be more like Him each day of our life. Now look with me back in John chapter 15. I spent a little more time there than I wanted to, but I think it's important. The marks of being a friend of Jesus, that person would be marked with faith. He said, well, Pastor, you can't see faith. What are you talking about, a mark? Well, I ain't got off of it yet, have I? Amen. But anyway, faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. A person that's got faith in their life, faith in God. We've been told to have faith in God. A person that's got, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, you believe in God. Then he said, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. And on it goes. But I want you to know that God helps those who will believe Him. That's how we got started. By the way, I can't get off of it. I'll stop in a minute. What did Paul say? I fought a good fight. I finished my course. He said, I've kept the faith. So you don't ever find Paul saying, look up here, I'm a friend of God. I'll say it for him tonight. Paul was a friend of God. You don't find Abraham saying it, but I'll say Abraham was a friend of God. You don't find James saying it. You don't find Jude saying it, but these are a friend of God. Men of faith. They were marked by their faith. Secondly, now we're back in John chapter number 15. I believe a mark of being a friend of Jesus is not just faith, but it's fellowship. This is where God spoke to my heart. Look in verse number 15, or chapter 15, verse 1. I'm the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. That's an important verse of Scripture right there, because we can't fellowship with the Holy God without being clean. And we can't get clean without something that'll cleanse us. And the word will cleanse us. And the blood. That's what the Bible said in 1 John. Go there with me just a minute. I was going to be over there in a little bit anyway. 1 John chapter 1. I was going to be in another text. The Bible said this is the message, verse 5. You've heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, glory to God. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Ain't it a blessing to know when you get dirty, you can get clean. Amen. And so the fellowship, and where did you get fellowship out of these? Notice the next word in verse number 4, abide. That's where the thought come from, abide. It means, I looked it up in the Webster's 1828 dictionary, it means to dwell. It means to rest. It means to continue. It means, Brother Jason, to stand firm. It means to continue permanently in the same state. Now, that's fellowship, beloved. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And I'm going to tell you something right now. If you get the sap running out of Him into you,
That's sweet fellowship. Amen. And you know what will be dangling on the end of the branch? Fruit. I believe the fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of the Christian will be dangling on the end of the branch. You say, Pastor, what do you mean continue permanently? Well, Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. So if we fellowship with Him, we can't expect Him to become like us. We got to come to Him. Amen. And be like Him. The Bible said here, I'm the vine, the branch, you're the branches, he that abideth in me. There's that word again. Well, I don't think I read all the verse 4, did I? Except that abide in the, he said, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. By the way, that's probably the most miserable Christian in the whole world that thinks they have some kind of responsibility to produce fruit. You can't produce fruit. But what you can do is walk with Jesus and bear fruit. There is a huge, huge difference in those two things. Except you abide in me, except you abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. The word over and over and over, abide, abide, abide. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, boy, it'd be a happy day in every one of us's life if we get that verse down. Without me, you can do nothing. Get out of bed in the morning. Say, Lord, I've got a day in front of me. And I can't do anything today without you. The songwriter said years ago, I haven't heard it in a long time, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I can't accomplish anything of eternal value. Lord, I want you to go with me through this day. I want to fellowship with you. I want to abide in you. The Bible said here, if a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, they're burned. If you abide in me, in my words, there comes that book again, abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue, there's that word, ye, in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide. There's that word again, abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You never found Jesus in his entire life out of sorts. That's why the Bible could say, Jesus could say, I do always those things which please the Father, because he was able to abide in his Father's love. So I believe the first mark of being a friend of Jesus is faith. The second mark of being a friend of Jesus is fellowship. The third mark I want to share with you is fullness. Look in verse number 11. Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Brother Dale, you know who come to my mind when I read that verse? Well, wait just a minute. He was right on the tip of my tongue. He's so sweet that when he spoke, honey come out of him. Oh, Pastor Good Shepherd, Brother John. Brother Rightly Sailing. Amen. Senior moment. They're getting more often. Amen. It's okay, Preston. Laugh now. You won't be laughing later. Amen. Join the crowd. Am I in good company, Brother Junior? Amen. I know Brother Rightly as well as I know my own name. Amen. But that man, I never did get around that man when he wasn't full. I mean, the old timers would use the word ooze. The joy of God oozed out of him. Amen. The word of God flowed out of him. He had joy. The Bible said here, I believe it's a mark, fullness. These things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. I'll tell you something right now. I know what it is to be full of joy, and I know what it is not to be full of joy. Is anybody home tonight? Amen. And I'm going to tell you, being full of joy is just, there's no substitute for it. That's those times in your life when somebody gets on the elevator and says, you're a Christian, ain't you? Or you're a preacher, ain't you? Amen. I think sometimes they just look at your pocket, see if you got a gospel tract in it. Amen. Amen. But I want you to know this. Fullness is a mark. Look at 1 Peter with me quickly. 1 Peter chapter number 1 tonight. Verse number 3. I believe it is. Verse number 3. I want to read. 1 Peter chapter 1. We got time tonight. I got 7 things. I'm on the third one. I believe we'll make it. The Bible said in verse number 3 of chapter 1, 1 Peter, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. God's people are alive. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Wouldn't the world be a better place if there was as many people concerned about this inheritance as they are an earthly inheritance? I'm telling you, families will fall out over stuff. Somebody will die and they'll fight. Not me, buddy. I'm backing up. Amen. I'd get plumb out of it. I ain't fighting over a toothbrush, let alone anything else. Amen. The Bible said, who are kept by the power of God, I'm going somewhere with this, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice. How's your rejoicing tonight? I believe we're friends of Jesus. We're full of it. Full of rejoicing. Though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold. Next time you're going through it, say, Lord, this is precious. You say, Pastor, you've lost your mind. No, I've not lost my mind. Why don't we just line up with the book instead of lining up with the flesh? Line up with the faith instead of lining up with the flesh. God said it's precious. Listen, Peter went through some things. James went through some things. Paul went through some things. And yet, I would say these men were a friend of God. They were full. Watch this. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Does anybody love Him tonight? In whom, though now you see Him not, yet, what's that next word? What will real believing do? It'll cause you to rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I can remember my papa, Brother Ralph, saying something like this, youngins, it's a whole lot better felt than it is told. Amen. I tell you what, a friend of God who'll be marked by faith, his life will be marked by fellowship, his life will be marked by fullness. John chapter 1, let me go there real quickly. 1 John, I'm sorry. Go with me, 1 John chapter 1 tonight. I need to get me some of them markers. 1 John chapter number 1. The Bible said this. I love this. Some call this Little John. He might be Little John, but he's got a big message. In verse number 3, he said, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Isn't this something how God's tying all this together? And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. I tell you, one of our problems, God just give me something here. You know, I don't get concerned about the gas station until, as long as it says I got 50 miles, I'm not concerned. But I tell you what, when I get back in it and I start it and that 50 went away and there ain't nothing but lines, you're riding on fumes, amen. You know a lot of Christians' problems? They wait until they're plumb empty to get concerned about filling up. Honey, I'm going to tell you something right now. It'd be a happy day in our lives if we wouldn't wait till we was plumb empty. If we sense a little bit of coldness, a little bit of slackness in our life, we just run to Jesus and say, Jesus, help me. I don't want to be two-thirds full. I don't want to be half full. I don't want to have a quarter tank. I want you to fill me up again with that joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Our families need that. Our children need that. Faith, fellowship, fullness. The next thing, verse 12 and verse 13. Bible said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And then the Bible said then, verse 17, again, these things I command you, that you love one another. I believe this, one of the marks of a person that's a friend of God is his relationship with the family of God. I'm going to tell you something right now. When God spoke to my heart about this, I'm glad I can stand here and honestly say, I don't know of a child of God anywhere that I got to avoid or go around. Amen. I said a child of God. I'm talking about God's people, the church of the living God. Amen. I'm glad, listen, there have been people down through the years that have hurt me, that have said things that were hurtful, that's caused me to lay in bed and weep all night long and couldn't sleep. But I'm glad I can pray for those folk and I can talk to those folk and I can speak to those folk. Amen. There is a bad problem in being called a friend of God if you don't love the family of God. Love one another. Sometime or another, Brother Dale, if you know that course, I remember what you said the other day. If you don't know it, I can lead it. So I'm praying you know it. You've heard that course. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Been born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. I'm glad I'm a part of the family of God. Amen. And let me say this. You may not be the pastor. You may not be a deacon. You may not even be a Sunday school teacher. You may not sing in the choir. When I said I'm glad I'm a part of the family of God, it don't matter what part you are, you're an important part of the family of God. There ain't a one of us said today, little finger, I don't need you. I just cut you off. No, sir. Every part is important. The family. That is a mark of a friend of Jesus. Number five, following. I got to thinking about this today. Let me just read this text real quick. Look at verse number 14. You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I've called you friends, for all things that I've heard of my Father I've made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Jesus is talking to his disciples. You know how he got his disciples? He went by where they were at, Brother Junior, and said, follow me. You know why they're still with him in John chapter 15? Why he's still talking to them? Why he's still teaching them? Because they're still following him. You show me a man that would ever be accused of being a friend of God, and I'll show you a man that is following the Lord Jesus in his life. If we're not following, then we're certainly not friendly. If we're a friend of the world, we're at enmity with God. Y'all believe that? Jesus said this, let this sink in. He said to his disciples, said, follow me. Now listen, there's two ways this is said in the Bible. One way is this, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Y'all ever heard that? But there's another way that it's said, and I like it all, but I really like this. Follow me and I'll make you to become fishers of men. Think about that. One of the marks of being a friend of Jesus is following. Number six. I'm doing good. Sister Donna, you got it now, ain't you? What I said on the parking lot, you got it. He'd never say it of himself, so I said it. I told her that she could go home and tell Brother Eddie that I believe he's one of these. A friend of the Lord Jesus. Take a look at his Bible sometime. Look at all the notes that he's got stuck in it. You want to know why? He studies. He loves that book. He loves the Savior. He's not the only one, but he ain't here, so I'll talk about him. The next mark would be fighting. Look in verse number 18. God showed me this morning. I had to answer a text, and I'll be honest with you. I started to answer it one way, and when I looked at this, I answered it a different way. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me, Jesus said, before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. I wrote down the word fighting. The Bible talks about spiritual warfare. I believe that we're in a battle. I believe we're in a battle for our nation. I believe we're in a battle for our churches. An old-time religion, somebody say amen. What was it you said to somebody, Brother John, said we was extending that wall up there so we could put in some drums or something like that? I'll drum him. Amen. What are you shaking your head for, brother? You're going to help me drum him, ain't you, brother? Ain't going to have no rock concert, amen. Fighting for what's right. Jude said, earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. I believe the closer we get home, the more the heat's going to be turned up in the fight. Brother Jason mentioned Israel a while ago. Have you seen any of the interviews where they interview these kids? They don't know a bit more what they're doing than a man in the moon. I'm not saying this in a bad way, but they're ignorant. They don't know what they're doing. They're just joining up with a mob. Not all of them. There's some instigators and agitators that know exactly what they're doing. Amen. But I want you to know this. If you're going to be a friend of Jesus, there are going to be some fights along the way. There are going to be some battles along the way. I believe that, don't you? Let me ask you something, Brother Stephen. Do you think the enemy is going to sit still while you walk close to the Lord? Who do you think he's coming after, Brother Larry? Somebody that's over there that ain't got no joy, cold as an ice cube? Is that enemy going to come after that one that's getting close? Got God on him. Or her, y'all know what I mean. Going to be a fight. You can read verse 18 all the way down through verse number 25. Verse 25, he said, they hated me without a cause. I don't know what's going to happen in the church world before Jesus comes, but I know this, we're no better than the early church. And they suffered. They were persecuted for their faith. How many believe Stephen was a friend of Jesus? Boy, he set them up. Amen. It kind of like bowling pins. He set them up and then he knocked them down. Amen. That's what the truth will do. It'll set you up and knock you down. But he did say this, I see Jesus standing at their Father's right hand. The last mark tonight that I want to share with you, being a friend of Jesus, is faithfulness. Look at verse 26 with me. But when the Comforter has come, how many's glad he came? Whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Now, I want you to hear me right here. Some people think, and you can get in certain circles, and all the boasting is on the Spirit. Everybody hear what I just said? But when the Spirit of God shows up, let me tell you something. The boasting will be on the Savior. And there's people that believe the Spirit of God showed up without the book. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will lead you into all truth. They some places they can have church without the Bible, without a verse of Scripture. Well, I'm glad we're not like that around here. And I learned a long time ago, Brother Ralph, I'd be here Mother's Day, it'd be 11 years. This church is unique. I mean this. And I don't mean to say anything bad about the choir, Brother Dale. That's not what I'm trying to say. But if this church had to choose, they'd rather cut that short than cut this short. We don't have to choose. There's time for everything. Don't get me wrong. But I learned a long time ago, hearing people say, I don't want to get on the preacher's time. Amen. I want the preacher to have time to deliver what God give him. That's the people that's in love with the book. Nothing like good singing. But we need the truth. Faithfulness. We see in this one verse of Scripture that the Sovereign, the Lord, is faithful. We see the Spirit is faithful. We see the Scripture is faithful. The faithfulness of the Sovereign, of the Spirit, of the Scripture. In verse 27, Jesus said this, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. In verse 27, you see the faithfulness of the saints. I believe faithfulness is the mark. Sister Jean, it hurt you when you couldn't come to church. What didn't it? It hurt her bad. She told me on several occasions, Pastor, I want to get back so bad. I miss church. I'm not bragging on Sister Jean. There's somebody lives in her. The marks of being called a true friend of Jesus. Faith, fellowship, fullness, right relationship with the family, following, fighting, and faithfulness. Some preachers, listen, I'm not throwing any stones tonight, but all they live for is this. They would like for somebody to say, come by and say, man, he pastored 1,000 people. Man, he memorized 1,000 verses. Now they're talking about Jason, not pastor. But man, he could sing and play that stringed instrument. But I tell you, I believe the greatest thing when they stretch us out in one of them 6-7 foot boxes that anybody could ever say about us, he is a friend of God. He was God's friend. And let me say this. God help me. But if I have a friend as good as Jesus is, Brother Mike, I want others to meet him. I mean, Brother Mike, I consider you to be my friend. If I see you in the grocery store and I got somebody with me, I'm not going to look at you and go down another aisle. I'm going to introduce you to them. Now, I may forget your name, but I'll say, this is Turtle. Ain't it good to have friends? How many wants to be a friend of Jesus? Years ago, there was a song, Brother Junior, I'll be a friend to Jesus. My life on Him depends. I can't remember anything else about it, but it was a good song. I believe the Greens may have sung it. Let's stand tonight. Thank you for being here.